Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Before we head into the international break, the fixture gods have conspired to gift us mortals with a weekend full of grudge matches. Tigres against Rayados, Ajax against Feyenoord, River against Boca, Marseille against Nice, Roma against Lazio, and of course, Real Madrid against Barcelona. The Kievo Lasso weekend preview with Jonathan Johnson, Mike LaHood begins right now. Everybody, welcome to Kievo Lasso. Thank you so much for being part of the family. Kievo Lasso pod on Twitter. We continue to grow. Thank you so much. 10,000 subscribers and counting on YouTube. And by the way, everybody, we have a winner. Congratulations, Ray House. You are the winner of yesterday's Paramount Plus $100 subscription giveaway. Check your DMs. Our producer will be in touch about how to redeem your prize. And thank you so much, everybody, for helping us to continue to grow. We can't do this without you. Make sure that you subscribe and spread the word, et cetera, et cetera. Jonathan Johnson, how are you, buddy?
Hey, great to be back on with you guys. Doing very well, thanks. And yourself?
We're good. We're good. So happy to have you here, JJ. Michael LaHood, looking good with that shirt, my man. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. Up the Irish, up the Ethiopians, because I'm rocking them today.
I love it. I love it. Happy St. Patrick's Day. We're taping this, of course, on Thursday. If you're watching on YouTube, it will be on St. Patrick's Day. If you're listening to this on Friday, well, St. Patrick's Day should be every single day. So whatever. But welcome, everybody, to Kievo Lasso, our weekend preview. Michael LaHood, Jonathan Johnson, let's begin. As we mentioned in the intro, some massive games before the international break. Massive in terms of rivalry, definitely all over Europe and beyond. But let's begin in what is surely the biggest one. El Clásico historically has always been such a big fixture, but since the exit of Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, it's been a little bit underwhelming, I guess. But I think, Jonathan Johnson, this one hopefully will be such a big one because Barcelona is doing well and Real Madrid, of course, in the Champions League quarterfinals and topping the league. What say you, my friend, as Real Madrid host Barcelona?
Yeah, I mean, this one's going to be really interesting for a number of reasons. And I think maybe the most exciting thing about it is it finally feels like we're going into a Clásico with both teams on the up, which is the first time in quite a while. You know, Real sort of prolonging the longevity of this group. There's a lot of veterans, as we've discussed in the last couple of weeks around Champions League, but, you know, they're still putting in the performances, getting the results in La Liga. And Barca, you know, have really turned things around massively since the last time we looked ahead to one of these games. And I think the Clásico earlier this season was the final goal scored by Sergio Aguero in his career. I think it's going to be a lot different to that game, because I remember being struck. Obviously it's a huge event, a Clásico, but I remember being struck by just how sort of poor I thought the fixture had become compared to what we were used to in the years before. So I think now to be going back into it, you know, the fixture, the rivalry is in a lot better health, and it's amazing what a couple of months can do in terms of a turnaround.
It's amazing what a couple of goals can do in terms of a turnaround. These are two teams who are getting back a bit to what makes them successful. For Real Madrid, they've always had a striker who can dominate leagues. Big Ben's Karim Benzema, he's playing the football of his life, arguably the best player in the world. I'm sure Mohamed Salah and Robert Lewandowski will have something to say about that as the Champions League progresses. But Real Madrid have always been dependent on a striker who can score a bazillion goals. And when the team needs them most, he steps up. And he has stepped up in European competition and La Liga. Just when you thought he was finished scoring goals against PSG, he comes in at the weekend, bags a couple more. And then for Barcelona, they now have a striker, not one, but they have depth at the striker position. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang I'm not going to give Troops a shout out, so I'm not even going to say how Troops says it. But Aubameyang, this guy, the Valencia game, that's when he truly announced himself to La Liga, banging in a hat trick. And that's so important for a striker to get that goal, get the early impressive performance. And he's just settled in and he's enjoying himself in La Liga competition.
He is enjoying himself. This will be a big test for him, of course, as he faces Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, a hostile environment. And by the way, with their Super Cup semi-final victory in January of this year, 3-2, Real Madrid became the first team in El Clásico history to reach 100 wins across all competitions. They've won their last five games with Barcelona in all competitions, but Barcelona have more wins and scored more goals than Real Madrid in this classical fixture played in Madrid in the 21st century. Something has to give. I'm wondering here, Jonathan Johnson, as we look at these two teams, and obviously, you know, a lot was going on midweek as well, you know, and well, not just midweek, but I guess through the course of the last 2 weeks with Real Madrid in the Champions League and Barcelona trying to, as we tape, they still have to face Galatasaray. We have to see what happens there. So what do you expect in this fixture? Which way are we going, do you think? Because this is massive. It's big because Barcelona, obviously, aside from beating, you know, their bitter rivals, they have to remain in the Champions League contention for a top four spot.
It is big, but also at the same time, you know, I don't want to sort of overplay this. I don't think that there's going to be any way that Barca can sort of relaunch any title ambitions with this game. I think Real are too far ahead, even if Barca do win this game. But you're right, you know, I think this Europa League clash against Galatasaray doesn't really come at the best time for them. I mean, perhaps if the legs had been reversed and they were playing at home the second leg, it wouldn't be as bad. But, you know, going to Turkey, it's going to be a hostile atmosphere. It's going to take a lot from the players, you know, to come away with a result, especially a result in 90 minutes, because if they end up going to extra time as well, that's just going to drain them even more. So I think it's absolutely crucial ahead of this game that the Barca get the job done in 90 minutes or they drop out in 90 minutes. I think extra time and potentially penalties, you know, will just be a disaster heading into this game. But at the same time, you know, there is an international break just around the corner, you know, so these two sides can get a bit of rest. You know, Barca have managed to turn things around quite nicely, getting themselves back into Champions League contention in the league. Sadly, it's come at the expense of my favourites, Real Betis, but you know, there's still a long way to go in this season. But I think this game feels almost more important for Barca than it does for Real, especially given those positions at the top of the table right now.
And I think for Barcelona, the biggest thing they have in their camp is belief. There is the fighting Barcelona spirit. There's a sense of civic pride that Xavi's instilled. Yes, the international stars, your Aubameyangs, have come in and they started producing. And I think Adama Traore, he's a guy coming from Wolves and the Premier League, and they just injected a bit of pace to this team that was lacking. They had the tiki-taka, which tiki-taka was dying in Catalonia, but that change of pace, Ousmane Dembele looks to be resuscitated back to life. But I think that civic pride, that's always is what made El Clasico the game to watch across the world. It's been, you know, Madridistas and Catalonians, they hate each other when it comes to soccer. And you're starting to get that. And that's what makes me excited about this matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's going to be an intriguing one. And of course, Spain, La Liga remains to be exciting. Let's have a look at the remaining fixtures as well, the other fixtures in La Liga des Norris, as we look ahead to another weekend of Spanish action before the international break. And of course, as you have it, as you see it, you know, it all begins, by the way, on Friday with Athletic Bilbao. And pay attention, everybody, to our YouTube channel. And of course, CBS Sports has had a great chat, by the way, with the Williams brothers, Iñaki and Nico Williams. A really tremendous story. Make sure that you check that out. But any fixtures from that, Jonathan Johnson, that you like, that you think, you know what, let's have a look at that.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at the bottom of that list, Sevilla, Sociedad, you know, two teams capable of playing some very, very attractive football. You know, I think I'd fancy myself a bit of that. Obviously, I'll keep my eye out on what Betis do away at Celta. You know, never an easy game. But for me, I think it has to be Sevilla, Sociedad. You know, and it's a perfect warm-up as well for the Clásico. You know, Sevilla, interested to know how they do against West Ham in the second leg of their Europa League clash, which will happen after we tape this. But you know, it's been a real season of progress, solid progress for Sevilla, you know, and it doesn't surprise me to see them where they are in the table at this moment.
Michael?
I said it the other day. I'm Atleti, you have just irked me with your result at Old Trafford, so I'm going to stick with you on the games that I'm keeping an eye on. But I think that Atleti game, as we're talking about El Clasico, Atleti, they're playing against a Rayo Vallecano team that loves to play against teams from Madrid. They pushed Real Madrid to the limit, and I think they're going to do the same. I think Atleti, they're in that Champions League race with Barcelona to get those spots, and they're going to be exhausted. They put a lot of energy towards that game at Old Trafford in the Champions League, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond. You know that they're one of the fittest teams in La Liga, though, so that's going to be a key difference maker to see how much energy they have to go against Rayo.
Absolutely. Well, that was Spain, but we have so much more action, including El Super Clásico, River against Boca. That's Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Both teams coming off some big wins. This is a massive game, of course, in Argentina, and the fact that you can watch it on Paramount Plus is massive. River are continuing from, of course, that historic league victory with Marcelo Gallardo. You know, have won, you know, four matches, only lost one. They've scored a lot of goals, including 13, of course, including the previous matchup that where they went off. And they've been doing pretty well, taking in mind, of course, you know, the news of Julian Alvarez, who's going to Man City, but he remains at River for the moment. But Boca Juniors as well, you know, in the other phase of Argentina Primera División, and they have they've been okay, not as strong as River Plate, so this would be a contentious game. The results and fixtures from the past obviously mean nothing when these two teams face each other, and that's Sunday, 6 p.m. Eastern, streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. A massive, massive game. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Jonathan Johnson, Michael Lahoud, LME will be discussing some Italian soccer, of course, Serie A, which also you can watch exclusively on Paramount Plus, as well as Premier League fixtures, some other fixtures. JJ will give us the Ligue 1 lowdown as well. We'll talk about some other games of interest, some final thoughts, and much, much more. Qué Golazo Weekend Preview. Jonathan Johnson, Michael Lahoud, LME will be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Tailor Brands.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, everybody. Fans of Italian soccer, remember to join Colin Calcio every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern live on the QG YouTube channel and then later on the QG podcast feed. Every week, Kristen Cooper and a revolving cast of characters from Paramount Plus Serie A team will discuss the biggest stories from the Italian top flight, preview the games, and speak with the Calcio-loving community. There may not be Italian teams in the Champions League anymore, but Serie A continues to excite us. And we got some great games this weekend. Let's begin, by the way, with a good one in the capital, Roma against Lazio. Michael Lahoud, this is going to be a big one. We've just seen, obviously, the England national team set up for their friendlies. Tammy Abraham's in it. He's a massive part of Roma, of course, as they face Lazio, Ciro Immobile and Lazio. This is going to be a good one. Talk to me about that one.
Tammy Abraham is having a wonderful season. And just when you thought he broke out at Chelsea, he takes it one step further. I thought he was crazy to follow Jose Mourinho.
Whoa. He didn't break out at Chelsea. He broke out at Villa Park.
Thank you very much, Jonathan Johnson. That's right.
Well, he's hey, there's multiple chapters of breaking out in the Tammy Abraham saga. Yeah, we'll get this.
He came of age in Birmingham.
We'll get this as a Paramount Plus documentary. You can sign it on that. But he's taken it another step further in his game and his development, and he's banging goals in Serie A, but he ain't no Ciro Immobile. This guy, no matter whether he's injured or suspended, he just has a nose for goal. He's the prototypical Serie A striker, and he likes to score goals in big games. He delivers when Lazio need him most. That's why they've been in European competition year in and year out since he's gone back to Lazio. I think Roma, they've identified themselves under Mourinho this season as serial choke artists in big games. They've only gotten a result against one top six or seven team, and that was against Atalanta. They've gotten spanked in all the rest, and they've been struggling to score goals as of late. Although Tammy Abraham is their talisman, that doesn't bode well going into, you know, a derby game.
Yeah, I agree. I think as well, what we forget about that win over Atalanta is it came after some very dubious refereeing decisions as well. I remember Gasperini being absolutely furious about that. So, you know, for me, I'm really curious to see how this one pans out. I mean, obviously, we've spoken about the battle of the strikers, as we can see on the screen at the moment, and that in itself is going to be fascinating. But the other thing as well is these kind of games seem to bring out the best in Maurizio Sarri as well. You know, his Lazio team seem to click when they're coming up against a higher quality opponent. They're a little similar to Napoli in a way where I think they measure themselves against the opponents that they play. And if they're not playing one of the top teams in Serie A, then they'll quite often struggle to, you know, to dictate the tempo and go after the result, which is why they're sort of in and around sort of the cusp of the European positions. But to have seen Roma booted out of it, Fiorentina as well, although they've got that game in hand, you know, this is a key match for both of them, because everyone's going to be looking towards Atalanta, towards Fiorentina, sort of with that extra game to play, you know, because somebody is going to be missing out, especially given the way that Juventus have improved and look like they're probably not going to be caught now in that final Champions League spot. So for me, I think this has the potential to be a really, really huge game. Mourinho, as you said earlier, he's kind of almost becoming the specialist in failure that he was joking about years ago when it comes to these big matches. I mean, we've read so much and seen so many sort of negative things coming out of Roma since those very positive early few games. It really feels quite underwhelming now at this point, Mourinho. You know, he went back to Serie A as like this returning hero because everyone remembered him from his success with Inter Milan. And then suddenly this Roma side, at times they seem quite flat. And I think as well, they kind of almost remind me a bit of a Ligue 1 side where they're not really cut out to be competing in at the top of the domestic tree and in Europe. It's sort of one or the other. I think their squad is a little too thin, for them to have had glory on both fronts, which is why we see them, getting these unexpected, disappointing results, which has put European qualification in jeopardy.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, all of that in a way goes out the window when a derby comes into place, and you know, it's about pride and effort. And by the way, after the win 3-2, winning 3-2 in the reverse fixture, Lazio could win two Serie A games in a row against Roma for the first time since November 2012. It's been a while. That's when they did it three in a row. But Roma are unbeaten at home against Lazio in Serie A since April 2017. But to JJ's point, Jose Mourinho's, a squad can give you surprising things. It's going to be an intriguing one. Let's go. I mean, give me a quick prediction. What do you see in this one, Michael?
I can guarantee you a red card because this fixture
at least
this fixture always delivers. This and the Milan derby, they always deliver fireworks both on the score sheet and in the stats books for the cards department. So I'm saying one red card, and I'm going to go 2-0 Lazio. I think Mourinho is going to be fuming. The special one is going to be dubbed officially the specialist in failure, joining Arsene Wenger in that special club, as he dubbed it once.
JJ?
Yeah, this one, this one for me, it feels like it has Lazio win written all over it. I mean, I remember Pedro a couple of months back starring in that first the first leg of the derby, or the first installment of the derby this season. So I agree, I can't really see past Lazio, but I think this one will be a bit tighter. I might go for a 2-1. You know, I'm hoping there's going to be as many goals as there are going to be cards and flash points. You know, because this derby rarely fails to deliver.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you saying that, JJ, because of the Tammy Abraham shout? You wanting Tammy to bang it in up for the villains?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I'm always happy to see him doing well. I mean, I'm a big fan of Jordan Veretout as well. A bit of a Villa link there as well.
I love Jordan.
It's just occurring to me while we're having this chat that Roma is actually just becoming like an ex Villa boys club.
Yeah. It's a retro Villa. That's right. That's exactly what they're doing. Well, anyway, there's another big game in Serie A as Inter Milan, who are a game behind Milan, who's top with 63 points, and Napoli second with 60 points. Inter Milan have 59 points, but they have an extra game. But they play Fiorentina in this game. This should be another cracking fixture. That's Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern. And by the way, Inter are the team against which Fiorentina have scored the most Serie A goals. And obviously, as well, since 2001, Inter have won 16 of their 19 Serie A home games against Fiorentina. But I wonder how much pressure is specifically for Simone Inzaghi, Jonathan Johnson, to see if they can catch up to Milan and Napoli.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this game is more important for Inter than it is for Fiorentina, although I'm a bit worried for Fiorentina. It comes at a bit of an awkward moment where they sort of need that game in hand to be played to see exactly where they stand with regards to European qualification. But for Inter, I mean, 4 points behind AC Milan, you know, it's not where they would have wanted to be, especially after, you know, they sort of did the hard work where they turned the situation around, got themselves ahead of Napoli and Milan, and now find themselves behind again. But with Milan, I think it's really interesting how it sort of mirrored last season a little bit in terms of them, you know, dropping out of Europe and then being able to focus on the league. And I think, you know, for Inter as well, going out to the Champions League, giving a good account of themselves against Liverpool is going to be crucial for setting the tone for the remainder of this season, because they need to get themselves closer, you know, to the top of the table. I mean, they may well end up losing out now. 4 points could be fairly sizable, especially when you're coming up against tricky teams like Fiorentina, and there's quite a few of those tough fixtures that you get as part and parcel of this ultra competitive Serie A that we're enjoying right now. So, you know, I think this one, it's a must win for Inter, whereas for Fiorentina, it's like, well, if we avoid defeat, we've still got that game in hand, which can catch us up with the European places.
It's times like this where I wish I could go back in time and nix the Vlahovic sale to Juve, because what he couldn't do against Villarreal, I'm sure he wished he was up, because I think he would be a menace for this Inter back line. Inter haven't looked
Christoph Piatek though, Michael. Piatek is doing, a friend of the show, by the way. You know, he's been, you know, he knows the league. He's been doing okay. Do you see Fiorentina at all with this side doing anything against Inter Milan? I know that they're away from home, but to JJ's point, this is a tricky fixture.
It is. I think at best, they frustrate them and get a draw and force Inter into making certain mistakes. But Inter haven't looked the same since that Milan derby. They looked flabbergasted, and especially Olivier Giroud. Who knew? No Ibra, but they still have Giroud. Who knew Giroud at the double would be the thing that would capsize their Serie A hopes? And offensively, they have looked a shadow of themselves. And I think it's down to the fact that Inzaghi doesn't know what to do with that front three of Dzeko, Lautaro Martinez, and Alexis Sanchez. The biggest issue with their attack is Edin Dzeko, he had been scoring you goals, and then you started tinkering it because you were getting into European competition. And now that affects the dressing room a bit. You don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I can guarantee you there's more drama for your mama in Serie A, because when you take a striker out that's experienced as Dzeko, that affects the chemistry and creates issues.
Yeah, it was go ahead, JJ.
I think as well, when you're a striker like Edin Dzeko, fantastic striker, so much experience, but at his age, you know, when you're on that kind of hot streak and then you get sort of taken in and out of the team, you know, it really tampers with you, because this could be sort of your last real rich vein of form in your career, given his age. You know, I mean, obviously, I hope that he sticks around for a couple more years. We all know, you know, how people love to sort of play out the latter end of their careers in Serie A. I don't know whether it's the olive oil over there that keeps them going much longer than everyone else. But, you know, for me, it felt like I was seeing Dzeko sort of out of the starting 11 picture too often, given the goals that he was banging in. And I think, you know, as great a player as I know he can be on his day, Alexis Sanchez, you know, he is a real wild card option at this stage of his career, because as much as he can pop up and give you an important winning goal, which he's done a couple of times this season for Inter, I don't think he's at that point where he's ready to and consistent enough to be starting in a front line like Inter's, where they're going to be challenging for the Serie A title and they were hoping to make progress in Europe as well. For me, you know, it has to be built around Martinez and Dzeko. And, you know, once Simone Inzaghi started playing around with Dzeko, you know, it doesn't surprise me that suddenly the attack looks a lot less convincing.
Yeah, I think the home advantage will hopefully give Inter some help. They've gained 32 points from 14 home matches in Serie A this season. That's actually the most out of any team in Serie A. Give me some predictions very quick. Inter Milan, Fiorentina, Jonathan Johnson, and then Michael, you jump in.
I'm going to go for... I don't want to go for another 2-1.
Yeah, don't say 2-1, JJ.
I'm going to... You know what? I'm going to go exciting. I'm going to say 3-2.
Ooh, I like
3-2 to Inter.
3-2 to Inter, a home win for Inter Milan, keeping their title hopes alive. Michael?
I am going to stick with the goals for Fiorentina. I'm going to say a 2-2 draw, and there is going to be madness at the San Siro, because you know the drama is going to be coming. But 2-2 draw, Inter coming off the draw against Torino, I think there's going to be a bit of doubt, and I think they get the first goal. But then Fiorentina, they fight their way back, and that doubt starts creeping in, and they bottle it for a 2-2 draw.
Well, Juventus is surely hoping for something like that as they look to creep up as well on Inter Milan. Because guess what? Juventus are fourth. They have a game extra over Inter, but they have only 3 points under them. They have 56, while Inter have 59. So this is getting even more interesting as we continue. Remaining fixtures in Serie A, of course, for this weekend. By the way, as we look to this weekend of action before the international break, Sassuolo Spezia, Napoli hosting Udinese, Milan travel to Cagliari, Juventus Salernitana. We've talked about the Rome Derby, Bologna Atalanta, Empoli Verona, Venezia Sampdoria, and a few more right there. All of them on Paramount Plus, by the way. We have them all for you, as well as our team. And again, don't forget Colin Calcio every Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern. All right, let's go from Italy to the Premier League. We had some midweek matches. We talked about them already. But let's talk about a London derby here. Tottenham against West Ham. Tottenham got a good win, of course, against Brighton midweek. West Ham still have to play Sevilla in the second leg as well in the Europa League. Michael, Tottenham, West Ham, the fight for fourth, although you think Arsenal perhaps are holding on to it. What do you make of this London derby?
I think it's more the fight for fifth. I think this Tottenham team, they get it done against lower competition, but it's been these type of games that they've lost in this season. And they showed that against Manchester United. They went to Old Trafford. They had momentum. They had a couple wins. They had a couple great performances, and they just implode at the end of the day. But what I do like about them is they've gotten their best player on their team, Harry Kane, scoring goals again. When you have a Tottenham with Harry Kane scoring goals, Son Heung-min scoring goals and getting assists, that is the best Tottenham. And yeah, Kulusevski, he's been a revelation for them. I think he could end up being the signing, if they get top four, he could end up being the signing of the season.
Yeah, massive addition. Bentancur also playing pretty well. But West Ham are sixth, Tottenham are seventh. To Michael's point, JJ, this is probably about a fight for fifth. However, they're only, you know, 3 points behind Arsenal in fourth, although Arsenal, of course, have a few games in hand. How do you see this one, West Ham-Tottenham? That's a Sunday game.
Yeah, to be honest, if I'm looking at this one, I'm not actually that worried about Arsenal. I'm actually looking at this more for United. I know that Mike is not going to be happy with me saying that, but given the way they went out of the Champions League, you know, looking at that game in hand that Spurs have, I mean, if Spurs do beat West Ham this weekend, you know, that really puts them in the driving seat for fifth. So I think if I was looking at any team that might drop out of that top five at the moment, it's more likely to be United than Arsenal. I think, you know, in Arsenal's performance against Liverpool the other day, we saw that, you know, there is enough there for them to, you know, battle it out up until the end of the season for that final Champions League spot, you know, and if worst comes to the worst, I think they might just about drop down into fifth very late on. But I think that's going to take a really strong run of form now from, you know, perhaps from a Spurs. You know, we'll see if Conte can get them firing the way that he wants. My feeling is that fifth is probably the best that Spurs can aim for this season, ahead of a massive rebuild in the summer and Conte getting the best out of them and really pushing for Champions League qualification next season. So, you know, I think if I was United, I'd be looking over my shoulder at the likes of Spurs right now, especially if they get the result this weekend against West Ham, which I expect them to do.
Yeah, and just like Inter, Tottenham actually do pretty well at home against West Ham. They've only lost 2 of the last 19 matches, by the way, in that fixture. You saw just then the remaining fixtures in the Premier League. JJ, we have to just, we begin everything with Arsenal traveling to the greatest club the world has ever seen. You saw Mikel Arteta complaining a little bit about the fixture. You know, he has a point, right? Arsenal had to play Wednesday against Liverpool and then the early morning game at Villa Park. Though, you know, they're not the only club that suffer, but he has a point.
Yeah, he has a point. I mean, who wouldn't be afraid of traveling to Villa Park?
Exactly.
You know, Here we go.
No, I mean, I think looking at Villa's position in the table at the moment, it makes me feel really frustrated because, you know, technically, in terms of the positions, we're only 2 positions behind Spurs, but it's a chasm between Villa and the rest of those teams sort of still in European contention. You know, there's 10 points between Villa and Wolves, even though we have a game in hand. So it really feels frustrating, like a couple of results, you know, in the last couple of months, we've really thrown away our chances of going for Europe, because I fancy us being able to go toe-to-toe with Arsenal, you know, on our day when things start to click. And, you know, there have been moments under Gerrard where we've looked very, very good. You know, Coutinho is suddenly, you know, a fully functioning player again, doing what he does best. You know, we've got some fantastic performers in the midfield as well. You know, Ramsey is, you know, just goes from strength to strength. Kind of grateful that he's not been called up to the England squad this time, because I don't want there being too much hype about him moving on this summer. Quite happy with him at Villa Park for the foreseeable future. So you know, I can understand what Arteta's getting at, because Villa are now one of those teams, especially since Gerrard has come in, where none of the big teams are going to want to, you know, go and play us, you know, especially on home territory. I mean, we saw that with the way that the team fought back against United a couple of weeks ago. So, you know, I can see why Arteta's a bit miffed, you know, that there's very little turnaround time for them.
I hear you on the Arteta shout about having to go and the complaints, but mind you, Arsenal have all these games in hand because they were granted permission to have these games and be exempt from playing because of COVID. You can't have that and then complain. You can't have both worlds. You got to get on with it. If other teams had to play with academy players, other teams had to play with a shorthanded team. And these are the same. This is the same Arsenal that is talking, top four, we got it. But then complaining on the other side, same old Arsenal, always complaining. And from Villa's standpoint, you like your chances.
I'm not saying anything. Oh, God, I love it. I love it. Where's James Bench when you need him?
but you make a good point.
I mean, listen, the pandemic has affected everybody in different specific ways, but ultimately it's about how you handle the scheduling. It is a tricky thing, and obviously it's tricky enough because obviously they had a midweek game against Liverpool, and then they had to play, now they have to play the early kickoff against Villa. But to your point, everybody has had to deal with so many situations. I mean, it wasn't too long ago that, you know, our children had to play Liverpool in a cup game as well. It's a very difficult, tricky situation. But, you know, at this point, no excuses. Just try and get the job done as we also continue to get back to normalcy. There's also the FA Cup, by the way. That's why there's not that many fixtures in the Premier League. And there's some tasty ones, of course, as we reach the quarterfinals. It's not just the Champions League, but it's the FA Cup. It's Middlesbrough against Chelsea. We've already talked about, obviously, you know, what happened there, but it's Middlesbrough against Chelsea. Palace against Everton. It's probably the last thing that Frank Lampard needs, another game in his scheduling, because they're trying to stay in the Premier League. Southampton hosting Man City, and Nottingham Forest against Liverpool. By the way, there's a great quote, boys, that Jurgen Klopp said after beating Arsenal, and I'm just going to read it right here. It's so good. Let's see. He became Emily Dickinson in this one. He was asked about momentum, and Klopp said, "We have momentum, but momentum is the most fragile flower on the planet. Someone steps on it, and it is gone." Jurgen Klopp, I feel like that's such a beautiful line. But do you think, in terms of these FA Cup matches, do you think, Jonathan Johnson, is this too much of a headache for them at this point? Or, you know, Liverpool's still going for a historic quadruple, I guess, as well. You know, do you think that it's a hindrance? I mean, I mentioned Everton as well. Or is this a welcoming thing as they look to get more trophies?
No, I don't think it's necessarily a hindrance, because when you're as big a club as they are, you want to challenge for every piece of silverware going. You know, you kind of relish the challenge that comes with all of these games and such short turnaround time. You know, perhaps that's a sign that Arsenal aren't yet ready to be challenging for silverware again, if they don't have that kind of mentality, that hunger to be playing every couple of days. And I think as well, Liverpool, when they get to this stage of the season, I mean, okay, it wasn't the case last campaign, but it is the case again this one. You know, they're like a train that's really, really difficult to stop. You know, they've got this momentum, you know, going behind them. And, you know, it really wouldn't surprise me if that momentum carries them past City and suddenly changes the complexion of the title race. I mean, perhaps something will have to give. You know, they're still in the Champions League, as you said. You know, maybe it is the FA Cup, you know, that takes the hit. But you know, you'd have to say that on paper, it's probably the most favourable fixture of all the big clubs remaining coming up against Forest. No disrespect to Forest, obviously there's plenty of pedigree there. But, you know, I think that Liverpool, you know, will probably feel that they can maybe rotate a little bit, you know, which allows them to still prioritise the title race in the Premier League and also pushing on further in the Champions League now they're in the quarterfinals draw.
I remember when Manchester United won the treble, there was something that they didn't have before that season, which they had depth. They could rotate Teddy Sheringham in and bring in Dwight York to play with him, or Andy Cole to partner. And Liverpool have that now, where in a game like Arsenal in the Premier League, you can rest a Bobby Firmino and Mohamed Salah and still be very competitive and not just do just enough, but go toe-to-toe with them and then bring in your sluggers to give a knockout blow. And you do that with the mindset of competing on all fronts. So those teams that go on to do the business, to go on to make history, they take it one game at a time. Liverpool have taken it one game at a time of saying, okay, how do we make up this ground against City? And that Leeds game was a big one. And then this Arsenal game is a big one, which it just gives much more belief. And the picture changes per game. Now you're 1 point behind City and you still have to play them, and the picture will change again when they play City, just as the picture will change again when they play Nottingham, of can they compete for this FA Cup? If they get the surprise cup exit, hey, a treble is still a very viable thing for this Liverpool team.
Yeah, it should be a great game against Nottingham Forest. It should be a great atmosphere, especially up front. They have Keenan, Andrei Shevchenko, Davis as well. So that should be a very good one. All right, JJ, very quick on Ligue 1. Marseille against Nice, PSG against Monaco. Specifically, you know, that latter, I guess, two teams who once upon a time, you know, celebrating the joys of titles. Of course, you know, PSG, it looks like they're still win Ligue 1, but, you know, they're dealing with a few issues. Give us a little bit of a Ligue 1 lowdown on both these games, PSG against Monaco and OM against Nice.
Yeah, there was like a bit of a short-lived period where PSG Monaco was billed as like the Cachico or Le Cachique, to give it a French
Le
flavor.
Cachique, I love it.
Because the fixture was so moneyed. And to be honest, it's funny, this season, or this particular clash between them, feels the poorest it's felt in a while. You know, PSG licking their wounds after crashing out of the Champions League. Monaco are probably going to join them in exiting the Europa League. They're down against Braga. We'll see what happens after this recording. You know, but I'm not expecting Monaco's European adventure to be prolonged there. They've really struggled. They made their managerial change, Kovac out, Philippe Clement, who did so well with Club Brugge over the years in the Champions League, coming in. But it still hasn't worked out. Monaco are still struggling to get themselves into contention for European qualification. I liken them a little bit to Ferrari in Formula One, where they've got that sort of reputation, that glitz and that glamour, but they've struggled to put it together, the consistent form in recent years. And again, it's looking like it's going to be touch and go to see if they even get into Europe. I think that, on the other hand, that Marseille-Nice clash, southern rivalry between the two, is looking very tasty. Marseille losing a bit of form at the worst possible time, and they're starting to get dragged back into that fight for any of the potential European Cups. They could get Champions League, they could still qualify for the Europa League, or they could be dropping down into the Conference League. So they've got plenty to play for. But this Nice side, kudos to Christophe Galtier. We know, he did a fantastic job with Lille last season, leading them to the title. He's taken Nice to the Coupe de France final this season and could still lead Nice to finishing second behind PSG in his first season with this shiny new project that he has on the South Coast. So doing a fantastic job there, and Nice, looking like they're going to push Marseille all the way, regardless of the result of this game this weekend.
I love it. A league lowdown. Thank you there, JJ. All right, some other games to take note, by the way. Some big games around Europe and beyond. Ajax against Feyenoord. Ajax are just 2 points clear of PSV, by the way. Tigres against Rayados. Tigres are third in Liga MX, and Monterrey sixth right now. El Clásico del Norte. Cologne against Dortmund. That's a Gio Reyna watch. It's a big weekend for USMNT players.
Yeah, that Cologne Dortmund game, it's actually a big one, because I think I read earlier that they're finally able to have a full capacity crowd for the first time in what seems like forever.
So they're going
to
be up for
that changes, the image for Bundesliga. Cologne, fantastic, place for football, great atmosphere. So I'm really looking forward to that one.
Michael, any of those games interest you?
I'm intrigued by the Ajax one. It's been a few seasons since we've had something to talk about in the Eredivisie, but this Ajax team, such an underwhelming result against Benfica in the Champions League, and their manager now. I'm interested to see how his focus is. This something that he's motivated by to close out his Ajax career?
Do you want him, Michael? Do you want him in United? Would you like him?
Do I want? Luis, I've wanted him since two seasons ago. I tried to put an Amazon Prime order on him.
You tattooed Erik ten Hag on your arm. Yeah.
Is this over Pochettino, or would it be one or the other?
Wait, who? Of Pochettino. Over Pochettino. No. Never heard of Pochettino. About a month ago.
So he's your number one choice. Erik ten Hag would be your number one choice. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. The thing I love about him is he would come in and clean out garbage. There's just too much stuff, too much deadwood going on at the club. And
at least Donnie would get a game in midfield when he comes back from loan.
Yeah, Donnie, you know what? Donnie would be the captain overnight.
Yeah, the reason why I think Erik ten Hag would be great for Manchester United is exactly what you just said. There's a lot of noise, a lot of things, problems that have nothing to do with the football for the majority time. And that's not something that Manchester United has been used to for so long. And now they need somebody to just... The problem is, I feel it's going to take more than just Erik ten Hag. You kind of need to really press the reset button everywhere, right? Sporting director-wise.
You know what? I might play devil's advocate a little bit. We've talked so much about what Chelsea's current situation might mean for their future. Imagine Thomas Tuchel is suddenly on the market.
Well, that's what you're doing, the Jamie Carragher page. I do like it. Yeah, that would be nice. JJ, do you want Chelsea fans to come at our house and say they're already angry?
Man, one of my best friends in my childhood was a Chelsea fan, so I've been making Chelsea fans angry for decades. Nothing new.
Hey, listen, you've had it good for so long, all right? So, but Michael, wrapping up on Ten Hag, I agree. I think that's a thing, but Pochettino would not interest you.
No, not at all. I was severely disappointed. It was a flashback to the Tottenham days, watching that PSG Real Madrid, and that was always going to be a difficult match for him. But that was a match that needed management. It took him too long to make a change, and he looked overwhelmed and flabbergasted, and almost of flashbacks of the Champions League final when he had that. He has this facial expression that it's mayday, mayday. I don't know what to do. And then we don't need that at Old Trafford. We have enough of that.
So. Yeah, it's already there. That's right.
When you realize Spursy has come back to haunt you.
Well, I do think that, especially from his Espanyol days and Southampton days, there is a good manager there. It's just sometimes, two things have to mesh. All right. By the way, regarding that Dortmund game at Colonas, Jonathan Johnson was talking about regarding, make sure to follow In Soccer We Trust, a brand new show and YouTube channel that will cover all things soccer in the U.S. Jimmy Conrad, Heath Beers, Charlie Davis will be all over the upcoming World Cup qualifier. So make sure to follow that and subscribe. All right. Well, let's just do final thoughts here. By the way, as we say goodbye, there's a lot to discuss. The start of the Challenge Cup, some MLS as well. Austin FC, Michael Lahoud. Let's see how far they can keep going. But there's a lot more action. But give me final thoughts from anywhere. Michael, give me your final thoughts.
I think keep an eye on the English Premier League. I think this weekend and the next couple of weeks, you're going to see the sand start to settle on those Champions League places. The two biggest storylines, the Liverpool City game, which is to come, that it's all building up towards that for a title race run-in. But keep an eye on those Champions League spots and European spots. I think that's we're going to see some big shifts in that.
Yeah. JJ?
Yeah, I'm actually going to throw in an interesting little update because the French squad was named earlier. Christopher Nkunku finally called up at senior level by Didier Deschamps. So that's definitely something to look forward to in the international break. Jonathan Clauss as well of Lens, a player I'm really a big fan of, filling a position of need for France as well on that right-hand side. We saw Kingsley Coman experimenting with a wing-back role a couple of months ago. Did very well, but, something that I'm not necessarily sure was going to be sustainable for France. And, you just look at those squads again, not just the senior squad, but the under 21, some of the names in there, it's just crazy. Camavinga, Saliba, Guiri, there's just so much talent. It's crazy. So always an exciting time to watch the French national team, even if it's just a bunch of international friendlies this break.
Yeah, as a Peruvian, I have the emoji version of eyes rolling. Like they're under 21. So it's just ridiculous. Hey, JJ, very quickly, why is Lucas Digne in there? He's hurt. Is it just purely just to get him part of the chemistry? What's going on? Or maybe we have an update on Lucas Digne.
Well, possibly it is. It is just to get him to join up with the group, be checked out by the doctors. I mean, I think because of what Deschamps was saying in the press conference earlier, he talking about the opportunity to bring in guys like Clauss and Nkunku to test them out because it's not competitive fixtures. I think what he'll want to do is just check up on the injury, make sure there's nothing too serious. Obviously, if Dean could play a part, he might keep him around. I don't think he'll run him into the ground during the training sessions. There's no reason to do that. It could be that he simply turns up, has a medical checkup, and then gets dismissed. Somebody else gets called up, or the squad just remains as it is with no replacement taken. But yeah, it's true that I did sort of raise an eyebrow a little bit when I saw that Dean was named in there, especially when you look at so many of those names that could have been included in this squad. No Kurt Zouma as well, as the investigation into him and his behavior with his cat rightfully gets underway.
God, that seems like 3 years ago. I don't even remember that stuff. Unbelievable. But anyway, that is the end of our weekend preview. By the way, we have so much more to give you, including interviews, recaps. We'll be coming back on the weekend for our recap as well. And also, we still continue in the international break, everybody. And Soccer We Trust takes care of all USMNT content. But here at Kego Lasso, we're going to have so much more, including my beloved South America. We'll talk more about Europe. Also, African qualifiers, Michael Lahoud. That's right. We have a lot to discuss around the globe because this game is all over, baby, and Kego Lasso covers it just for you. Michael Lahoud, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you for having me on. Love being on the show and cannot wait to watch weekend matches.
I love it. I love it, ML. Jonathan Johnson, thank you, buddy.
Guys, been a pleasure again. So looking forward to the next time already.
Absolutely. Enjoy the beginning to your weekend whenever you listen to this. Enjoy the games, as Michael just said. We will be back with much, much more. Qué Golazo Pod on Twitter, youtube.com/ Qué Golazo. Michael LaHoud, Jonathan Johnson, LME. We will see you next time. Till then.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.